Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So the NFL thinks you're an idiot. We have got the proof of that. We will get into all the details of it here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And wherever you are making us a part of your Wednesday morning, we appreciate you doing so. We're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. Now, before we get into the latest installment of the NFL thinks you're a moron, I would like to point out here that something was established last night, LeVar. It was established in a big time way that Brady Quinn is not the toughest person in his family. He is not the toughest athlete in his family.
No, this is 100% true.
Yeah, this is 100% true. Because he's got himself a jack-o'-lantern for a brother-in-law based on what happened in an NHL game last night. Please explain, Brady, to the audience.
Well, you know, as my brother-in-law, who's now with the Colorado Avalanche, a defenseman, Jack Johnson, was playing hockey last night, he literally caught a puck to the face. And as you could imagine, for any of those that have actually held a puck, those things are hard, man. Those things are hard.
Especially when they're cold.
Yeah, and they move rather fast around the ice. And so he caught a puck to the face. I'll actually see him later on today. He's coming down to South Florida as the Avalanche are going to take on the Florida Panthers. And my sister goes, well, hopefully you guys can take him out to eat, maybe get him a smoothie or some soup. So
he got it stitched anything.
Up. Yeah, he got it stitched up, went back out there and played. He'll be playing tomorrow night against the Florida Panthers. But he is one tough SOB, man. Those hockey players, those guys don't care.
Players, like they're different.
They miss half their teeth. Like they don't care. I mean, they're
straight out.
Yeah, they gotta have a good dentist. But yeah, no, he is tough as nails.
By the way, didn't he? We talked to him when he was playing with the Penguins. Didn't he get his teeth knocked out when he was with the Penguins as well, too?
Oh, yeah.
The puck?
I think his top, like, eight teeth are all fake, I think.
What is he, George Washington? He's got, like, a wooden mouth?
Well, the funny joke is these sorts of things tend to happen around Halloween. Yeah, he'll just take out the fake teeth, and he'll just that'll be part of the costume. Yeah, it's a weird coincidence. It's a really weird coincidence.
That is awful, man. That's why I never have understood. Like Cam Newton doesn't wear a mouthpiece, right? Like when he played. Like
didn't wear a mouthpiece.
How?
I didn't wear.
You're
mouthpiece.
Not worried about it.
What was I worried about? I had a face mask.
Okay, but no, you're not worried about.
You got to understand. I was
so
an
concussions. It's a misconception, but we'll get into that.
I was an artist. All right,
that's a good
making
point.
Contact, tackling. That was my art form. You know what I mean? Like, did Picasso worry about what it was going to look like when he was done with the brushes? Like, you don't worry about like what you don't use. You worry about what you do use. I never used my head other than the headbutt. I was a butter. I'll headbutt you in your chin. I'll headbutt you. Like, I'll butt the mess out of you. Yeah. But I never tackled with my head. I always use. See, people don't understand this. The misconception about tackling is everybody uses their head. When in reality, the idea of tackling is to line your opponent up with your eyes. And once your eyes make contact, you attack the balance zone of a player. All right. So you show me a person with no shoulders, I'll show you a person with no balance. I've never met a man, and you guys can try this. Anybody at home sitting around, or you're in your rig, whatever, you want to show you're tough, whatever, wherever you're at, stand the strongest, toughest person in front of you and take your hand and just push their shoulder back. And you know what their shoulder is going to do? It's going to go back. So you attack the shoulder. So you attack the balance zone, the most movable part of the body, and you drive your eyes up and through, and you get that, you absorb the contact with your face mask, and then it goes into your chest. The rest of the force, once you're making the force from the blow, it actually is your sternum. By the time you make that hit, it's going through the largest part of your body. You're absorbing that energy and that blow through your sternum. And that's the secret to actually effectively impacting somebody without jacking yourself up. So I never wore a mouthpiece. In the pros, I never, unless I just wanted to look tough, I put like one of those black. I had to put a black mouthpiece in just to look tough with my visor.
That's
or I put in one that looked like it was metal. They had ones that looked like they were metal, and I would wear those. But it was just for the look. It wasn't for anything else.
Man, I don't know. More likely to wear a cup or a mouthpiece.
Mouthpiece.
Oh, you're not wearing.
I don't know anyone who wears a cup. Yeah, I don't know anyone who wears a cup that plays football. I'm sorry.
You're not worried about a glancing blow? Like, if you're a running back, you're not worried about.
I've been caught.
Have
you been caught, Brady? I've been caught.
Yeah. Especially if you're ever trying to, you know, get a loose ball on the ground, that area becomes very vulnerable. Yeah.
I ran 100 yards.
Those dog piles are not fun.
I had to run that bad boy off. I got hit so hard one time there, I just had to run it off. It burned like a blowtorch. Like, I never felt what a blowtorch has felt like, obviously. But if I did experience a blowtorch, I would assume that's what it felt like. And I just had to run it off. You know how guys sit there and they roll around or they can't move or this, that, and the other? I jumped up and I just ran. And that was the only thing that my mind registered to do was, I guess, the last thing that it remembered. And I just was running, like literally just running.
Yeah, your mind's like, do what you did last time when everything was all right.
Hey, I dropped at the end, though. They're like, where's he going?
By the way, speaking of drops, the NFL continues to drop little pieces of information, and these reports come out. The latest on the Washington football team emails are that all of the emails, all of these
are
emails.
Fine.
Well, yeah, and they're all, to and from Bruce Allen,
yeah.
and the NFL said they were sent to and from the former Washington president, and that it's
all 650,000.
Yes, yeah. And quote
to
unquote
to and from.
Yeah, outside the scope of the workplace culture investigation. So again, nothing to see here. We took care of it. John Gruden's gone. Everybody.
Here's some things to point out. Okay. 650,000 emails from the period of time, I believe, in 2011 to 2019.
Yeah.
That was what these emails were, right? To and from Bruce Allen as an executive of the Washington football team, which comes out to about 178 emails per day. Now, look, I've never been in an executive position like that.
You can't humanly do that.
Well,
that's not impossible.
Here's where I mean, you have an assistant, and I'm sure there's other people who are sorting through this, which would make this even more interesting, right? Because there's probably some help if you are getting that many emails. And again, never been an executive, can't speak to it from that standpoint. But 178 emails a day sounds kind of high.
That's
but
high.
But in season, you got to think about it. You're overseeing a lot of stuff, and that could be emails that you're copied on. That could be emails that, you're one of many people that, you know, you're trying to get in touch with. Like, I do a lot of different things, so I get a lot of emails, too. Not quite to that amount. And then I was thinking, well, in the off season though, like June, July, are you really getting 178 emails a day? Like, it seems like kind of a lot during a down period. So really you're talking about, if you start to, like, you know, finagle the numbers, he's probably getting more than that a day in season, right? Which seems like that is really high. So I don't know, man. The whole thing sounds really fishy when you start to kind of peel back the layers and some of, you know, what at least has been reported. And I do think there needs to be more transparency to all
there
of this.
There does.
And I'm sure there needs to be more of an investigation. But again, I don't think we're going to get it. Like, I don't think we're going to get it. I think the NFL is doing everything they can, and the Washington football team is doing everything they can to move forward and move past all of this. Whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent, that's how they're trying to handle it at this point.
You just don't get the luxury to do that when you're, like you said, if you're losing the game, you don't get the choice of how you end the game. if the other team has it. You don't get that choice. So whatever it is they want to do, they can do. Once you've proven that you need to be monitored or things need to be, you know, kind of flushed out and hashed out and figured out because you haven't done things the right way, you don't get that choice. You don't get the choice to just say, hey, we want to move on. We want to move forward. We want to get past this. Like sometimes when you pull that scab off, you know, there's blood that comes. You know, it fills up the area, and you got to get the bleeding to stop, and then you got to, you know, take the proper steps to move forward to get it to heal. But it's got to be what it's going to be. I mean, at this moment, at this point, what happened to John Gruden, to me, if it just stops here, that's kind of unacceptable, if you ask me. And for as wrong as you want to make John Gruden out for what he did and how he handled things, he could not have been. There is no possible way that he was acting alone and it was just him. Agreed. And Bruce Allen. It's just not possible. Not within that amount of emails. So you could take John Gruden out of the equation. There's another name that you could drop into the equation. Probably a couple names that you could drop into the equation. And they're probably equally as inappropriate as – and that's a speculative statement. There's no facts connected to that. But let's be clear. I work there. I work there. And I can guarantee you, and I've been around Bruce Allen. Bruce Allen is a D-bag. And let me tell you something. Like, there is no getting around. That dude was half lit every single time I did an event and I saw him. Every single time. Lit up like a Christmas tree. So, like, if you're telling me out of all those emails, John Gruden is the only person that he was having inappropriate interaction with, you are out of your freaking skull. And that, to me, is the most egregious part of this, is you don't get to move on when something like this happens. You don't get to move on.
I got a random question. I don't know why this just popped in my mind or hit me at this moment. Does Bruce Allen and Chris Collinsworth look like they could be brothers or like doppelgangers?
All right, so
I mean, look it up, man. I'm telling you.
Collinsworth's face is a lot slimmer. His features are a lot more sharper.
I don't know.
Bruce Allen's are more rounded. He has more rounded features.
I mean, they're 3 years apart in age. And I feel like that's one of – I mean, Bruce Allen looks like he's aged a little more.
Bruce Allen looks like Collinsworth got jumped. Now that I'm looking at the
but you see the similarities,
picture.
Right?
Like, no,
they could
I do.
Be brothers.
Yeah, it looks like if
how did you come up with that?
Yeah,
I don't know. It hit me, and then I started thinking like maybe we should have Jonas do his Chris Collinsworth impression, but as Bruce Allen.
I mean, I gotta tell you, like I'm looking at Bruce Allen, and I can't help myself but think that God, is that me? Just like on like a 2 year bender? Golly, like it does look like Collinsworth just hitting the bottle hard, like hitting the bottle real hard, like going out to a Dodger game with Lee and Roberto. That's what it looks like, Bruce Allen. By the way,
I think Jack Collinsworth looks like Chris Collins.
What's his son? Obviously. Hey, LaVar, do any of your kids resemble what you look like?
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it could get complicated.
Was,
you know, when you get off
revelation.
Into I have different complexions and different – I don't know, man.
Can I ask you guys this before we get to break? On this Washington football team email scandal – like, we're all in agreement. Nothing's going to come of this, right? It's over. Yeah, I think this story's dead next week. I think it's dead next week, and they forget out a way to move
on. I don't think so. And here's the reason why I'm going to tell you I don't think so. The reason why I don't think so is because there has been so much for so long going on with this organization. And, again, the fact that what happened to John Gruden happened – And this is a continued battle with Dan Snyder amongst other people that he's fighting with in the media and in the legal areas. I don't think it's over. I think that people will continue. It's almost like one of these movements. It's already started. It's begun. Me Too started it off. And then you have the whole, you know, equality and, you know, inclusion, all these different things. Yeah. There are a lot of people that are that have a lot invested in what's going on with this team and with that owner. I don't think it's over.
The legal part will keep it going. But I will say this. As far as this year, the NFL news, it goes away for this reason. NFL trade deadline, November 2nd. Watch how many stories heat up here in the next couple of weeks, especially Deshaun Watson. And whether anything happens or not, I think we all know there will be a lot of speculation about that. So I think in the short term, like the short rest term. Of this season, yeah, it'll be put to bed until the legal stuff gets brought up after the season.
I still think there was something connected to this D'Amore Smith stuff that was going on, and that's why it popped up. I really do. Now, I could be incorrect. It could be an agenda by others, but I just think that somebody in the NFLPA was like, all right, y'all want to do this? Okay, here, get some of this.
I don't know if that was about or like the idea that Goodell wants DeMaurice Smith to be the NFLPA, the head of the NFLPA, because he works with them, he's negotiated with them, and he's gotten the better of him in all those negotiations. So why wouldn't you work with the devil you know instead of the devil you don't know?
Right.
Well, listen, I mean, there's a million different layers to this story. And speaking of a million, you want to look like $1 million but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor. Brady, how many blades is that?
Did you just say 6?
Damn right I did. LeVar, on the back end of your jersey number with the Washington football team, there was a 5, and then what was that other number?
Sace.
Hey, Roberto, how many runs did the Dodgers score yesterday in their big win?
Sace.
Hey, Lee DeLong, how many beers did you have in the parking lot before you walked into the game yesterday, the Dodger game, Lee?
That would be 6.
Damn right you did. It is the 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave with Dollar Shave Club stores. Yeah, that's Dollar Shave Club in-store, so go to the store and find them. Welcome to the club. All right, coming up next, he is one of our favorites, and he's also a guy who loves every single question that Brady Quinn has ever asked. Find out who it is next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. We are going to catch up with John Palmarosi coming up here just a couple of moments from now. By the way, I just saw today is National Chicken and Waffles Day. I don't know how you guys feel about chicken and waffles, but that's a damn good combination. Add some spicy sauce to it with the syrup. That's good stuff right there. Get down on a cheat day.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You love saying when you eat food, it's a cheat day. Like, it's okay to just Jonas.
Well, I'm just saying.
I cannot eat
chicken and waffles just any day. It's got to be set aside. There's got to be special time made for it.
Why?
No, that's just food in general for you. But go ahead.
Right.
I just, you know, it's a lot of carbs. I just don't operate well with a lot of carbs.
Every single time you have mentioned eating real
it's all
food.
About vanity, man. He just wants to be skinny and svelte.
Let me tell you something.
I'm just telling you what it is.
Yeah,
all right?
Let me tell you something. Yeah. This coming from LeVar, who literally snorted a pumpkin cupcake in studio the other day.
It was like, so good.
I
didn't even want it.
He didn't want it.
And
then Justin Cooper of the Ben Maller Show was like, yeah, and this one's pumpkin. And LeVar's like, what'd you say? It was a game changer from there.
Man.
I don't know. Carbs
pumpkin
just
and carrot.
Me. Yeah.
Pumpkin and carrot, man. That's my
one.
Deal.
That is a good one.
And I don't have to call it a cheat. It's not a cheat. I'm just doing it. If I want chicken and waffles on National Chicken and Waffles Day, I'm just doing it.
Right.
If I want a pumpkin cupcake in that moment, even though I didn't want one, but it sounded amazing, and I wanted to take a bath in a bunch of pumpkin cupcakes at that point in time with sour cream what is it called icing on those bad boys.
That's hot.
You two are like on completely opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Like LeVar's gonna eat everything and anything, and then Jonas doesn't eat anything. I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle here.
I'm just not gonna call it a cheat. It's not a cheat.
All right. Well,
we're just going to do it.
Well, listen, this, speaking of never cheating, how about the great John Paul Morosi? He is our Fox Sports Radio MLB insider, MLB Network insider. JP, listen, you know, how do you feel about chicken and waffles? Are you a big fan, or does that not travel to Ann Arbor all that well?
I have enjoyed chicken and waffles before. I have partaken of the great chicken and waffles. So it is part of my repertoire. It is not one of my go-tos necessarily, but it is something I do enjoy. And I will say this, after spending a fair amount of this month traveling around the country covering Major League Baseball, I am due for a lot of vegetables in November because at the ballpark, I can't, you know, I try to get a good, mix in a good kale salad every now and then, but I tell you what, Fenway, oddly enough, when Fenway was built and opened in 1912, the same week the Titanic sank, kale salads were not a huge thing, oddly enough. So it's kind of hard to get a good kale salad at Fenway.
And neither were snorkels.
I do not want a kale salad.
Yeah.
Hey, now, that's
JP,
a cheat.
JP, before we get into obviously the playoffs right now, everything that's going on, Aaron Boone gets a 3-year extension. Kind of an uneven season for the Yankees, and obviously with their loss to the Red Sox, you never know how that was going to go. Just give me some of your thoughts on the idea behind extending Boone with the Yankees.
Yeah, Brady. It's a huge story in baseball right now, and I think Aaron was deserved to get that. To get that contract extension. I think he did a pretty good job navigating a challenging year for the Yankees. You consider all the injuries they had during the course of the season, pitching-wise, of course, DJ LeMahieu, as we now know, he had core muscle surgery and was not himself all season long, and that was really a challenge for them, and Gleyber Torres and his struggles. The problems with the Yankees, in my judgment, were not Aaron's fault. And as we all know, that is a hard market to play in. LeVar certainly knows that. I mean, it's a challenging place to be able to stand up to that pressure every single day. So, I mean, for me, I think he did a pretty good job steering the ship. I understand they're making, obviously, multiple coaching staff changes, and I think that will help. It's also going to help that Brian Cashman has said that they're going to have Gleyber Torres playing second base next year as opposed to short. And so now the big question, guys, will be, which of the big free agent shortstops do they pursue? Certainly a lot of talk about Carlos Correa this time of year. He would be a very compelling person to play shortstop in pinstripes.
Hmm. I mean, I want to ask about, obviously, the Dodgers winning last night against the Braves. They jump out to a two-game lead. And now, all of a sudden, it could be tied in the blinking of an eye, John. Where do you see this series going, and how much would this mean in the history of the Dodgers folklore, so to speak, if they're able to come back and win this, and then obviously if it were to lead to them getting a World Series?
But it was a great October moment, LeVar, and the way that unfolded yesterday. You think about an eighth inning home run from someone who really, look at Bellinger's season. He did not have a very good regular season. I mean, there were not a lot of great moments in that regular season for him. And I do think it's one of the things, and that's why I respect athletes like Brady and LeVar, and you know, certainly Jonas, I know, was a great athlete as well.
Yeah, but right.
You didn't have to qualify with Jonas. Don't worry about it.
he's one of the best shake waiters out there.
Exactly right.
Got your shake weight right here, pal.
I'm trying to make sure I give my friend the boost there. But Brady and LeVar, I'll tell you this. I mean, we've all we can appreciate this, and you guys can do it more than anybody else. Is that when you're not at your peak for a period of time, however long it is, and then you come back and really have that redemption where you're okay, now you're back to being yourself. I've always found that to be one of the most impressive things that athletes do, because your confidence is suffering. You're out there in front of everybody. You're hearing it from people. What's wrong? Why aren't you performing the way you did before? And then boom, the lights are brightest, and you deliver in a huge spot. So Bellinger's regular season is now an ancient memory, and he's now back to being and looking like an MVP again. And that moment yesterday is now all of a sudden a signature Bellinger moment. So the momentum obviously is as they say in baseball, really depend on your next pitcher. But in this case, it's Urias who's going to start the game for the Dodgers. So I think that there's a momentum on the side of this being a 2-2 series. And I just think yesterday's game, guys, it's to your point, it's one swing, changes everything. And that's the beauty of a baseball series in the playoffs. We're here at Fenway, and Boston's leading 2-1, and for all the world, it looked like they were about to run away with the series, and then all of a sudden, we're back to 2-2, and Altuve with some heroics, and Jason Castro in the ninth inning. There's just that's why these playoff series are the best, because they can change. And it's not just the one game that changes; it's the whole series and your whole season in one pitch, and that's. To me, the beauty of the baseball playoffs.
John Pomerosi joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Fox Sports Radio's MLB insider, also of the MLB Network. You can get him on Twitter, at John Morosi. Let me ask you this about the start times. How does that work for Major League Baseball? Is there any thought to why have two games on one day, maybe space this out a little bit, so in the case of the Dodgers and Braves, you're not having to play where the shadows are starting to impact some of the hitters and things like that, especially at certain points during the game?
It's a very fair question. I think that number one, additional off days are not really an option based on the way that the structure of the playoffs works. They always want to avoid playing in November, so it's you can't really have too many single day games. In other words, where there's just one day, there's one game, and then maybe the other series is traveling. So that happens out of necessity. That'll happen again tomorrow. But in general, we don't see that happen very often in baseball, where they add additional off days in the series. I fully understand it. I mean, it's clearly television driven. I mean, this is the networks, and it's hard for me to know, and I don't know, to be honest, which decision is made based on which network takes priority to which matchup they want in prime time. We obviously know when the Red Sox and Yankees are playing games, they're quite often in prime time. But then again, the Dodgers also are as well during the course of the season. It is part of the way the playoffs work, and I've covered a lot of games that have the shadows, and it makes it very difficult to hit. It's always been part of the unique part of October baseball, but it is not ideal to have the shadows be a huge factor in the way that these games unfold. That being said, and you know this, Jonas, that when you're at a 5 o'clock game, I've always said this, you're at a 5 o'clock local time game at Dodger Stadium in October, and so it's a 8 o'clock Eastern time start, and the light is reflecting off the San Gabriels, and that's how the game begins, and you're there on the field for batting practice. It's one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in my life covering sports. And it is as though God intended for baseball to be played at exactly that place at exactly that moment of the day. I mean, it takes your breath away. And so that's maybe, I would say, is a bit of the romance of the game, the one positive part about those 5 o'clock starts at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, that, but unfortunately, it's hard to catch some of those fly balls out there.
You're
right,
right
center.
You're right, Brady.
I do want to ask you, if you ever think Dave Roberts, when he's watching other teams like the Braves, for example, and Charlie Morton's on the mound and just pitching five innings, kind of fighting through adversity, ever second guesses or questions, you know, just the analytics play and the way he goes about, you know, throwing out nine different pitchers, granted in their win last night, but still just that over analytical decision and making that. I kind of watch it as an old school guy play baseball saying, if I'm that pitcher, I want to stay on the mound and fight through until I feel like I can't anymore or it's my stuff and not be so concerned about matchups and so forth. Do you ever think Dave Roberts questions or second guesses himself the way he goes about managing his pitching rotation and just managing who he's putting in when?
I'm sure he does, Brady, because it's obviously, to me, it's an organizational decision. A lot of these pitching decisions, and for us, it's hard when we're broadcasting a game or talking about it. I mean, obviously, it's the manager making the move, but you can always add in at almost any decision when it comes to pitching this time of year. Dave Roberts, parentheses, in consultation with all of the analytics department of the Dodgers, and working on all the numbers and parentheses has made this decision, because it's not only his call. It really isn't. It is. That's just the way that it works now in baseball. And he is a great manager. I think that maybe there are times where if he was not quite as encumbered by the rules that are put there by the not rules but guidelines by the analytics department, that he might make some different decisions. But this is just the way the game is managed now collectively. I do think that one of the things that, and we saw it even at the game here at Fenway last night with Eovaldi pitching the ninth inning and giving it up. It is. I always wonder, and you guys can speak to this, like the human toll of you're either in a great rhythm, you get taken out, or you're a starter and all of a sudden you're pitching in the eighth inning for the first time this season. My question is always why? What is the expected performance of a starter pitching in the eighth or ninth relative to the other decent options that you've got back there, clearly decent in many cases and sometimes great, who've been doing that job all year? And then what is the diminishing return on that starting pitcher the next time he takes the mound if that's just his quote-unquote throw day? I really understand it in some cases depending on some teams, but not when the team has the level of pitching depth that the Dodgers have. It strikes me as unnecessary. They clearly won the World Series last year. They got some credibility from that, clearly. But sometimes there's no need to try to outsmart the other team when you're already a pretty good ball club.
John Paul Morosi, Fox Sports Radio, MLB Insider, MLB Network Insider. And John, you're at in Boston, so you'll be there. Game 5 coming up later on, 5:08 p.m. Eastern time on FS1.
I want to ask him about that one, though.
Yeah,
before,
please do.
Before he gets out of here, J-Mo, you mentioned that Boston has yet to record a save this postseason, which is – that's pretty interesting. They're that close to going up 3-1 over the Astros, and the Astros come back and take the game. Who do you see being the closer today, and how important is that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, LeVar. I think we could see Hansel Robles as their closer. They had to, I think they were kind of avoiding trying to go to him because of his inconsistency towards the beginning part of the playoffs. It could be Robles, could also be Tanner Houck. Potentially, of course, they're going to have Chris Sale start. And this is one thing where the Chris Sale that we've seen in these playoffs has not been the Chris Sale of old. And so we have to see if Alex Cora gets 4 innings from Chris and then how the rest of the game goes. But I think you may have to go with Houck early if Sale doesn't go late. And they may have to therefore trust Hansel Robles because Whitlock threw more than one inning yesterday. So it's a great question, LeVar. It's probably one key questions at Fenway here today as we get ready.
JP, awesome. We're going to be watching, man. Always appreciate it. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks, JP.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk a little more Big Ten football next time.
Yeah.
All right, guys?
Yeah,
yeah,
big one. Big there one in 2 weeks for Michigan.
Damn right.
Can't
right.
wait. It's going to be a great one. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate
it. Yes, sir.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
That is some dirty pool.
Yep.
That is.
Oh, that is not. That's fair. That's fair.
That's doctoring.
A LeVar won fair and square. He might have gotten 2 points on that one.
That's doctoring the baseball, corking the bat. That is unbelievable.
It's just trying to master your craft.
Yeah.
That's all. Asking
God
great questions is the key.
That's what
all.
It is.
Well, hey, you know.
All right.
That's what it's here for.
He's using his bullpen.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Bullpen.
Unbelievable.
That's right.
All right, coming up next, there is a story in sports that, listen, on the surface, just some bad blood animosity between a star player and his organization, but nobody handled being sent home from practice better than one player did yesterday. Unbelievable stuff. Rumors abound. We will get into that next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now, we are going to talk about some good news and bad news for one sports town. All right, so we will get into that here on Fox Sports Radio. Speaking of good news and bad news, Ben Simmons, the saga that is Ben Simmons in the 76ers, took a turn yesterday. He did not want to participate in defensive team drills, reportedly, and so he decided to just leave. Doc Rivers, let him go. And then, the Sixers decided to fine him a bunch of money afterwards and, suspend him and do whatever they wanted to do to punish him. This, of course, on the heels of all the offseason trade talk and the way things went down at the end of last season. His teammate, Joel Embiid, spoke about it afterwards and had this to say.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. That's not my job. That's those guys' jobs. I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, play hard every night, try to lead, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, our chemistry has been excellent despite, everything that's been happening in the last few months. Our job is not to babysit somebody. We here, we get paid to go just on the court, go out, play hard, win some games. That's all we get paid for.
Yeah, so it's an awkward situation through and through for Ben Simmons and company there.
Did I read that he had a cell phone in his pocket?
Yes.
He was trying to practice with it?
Yeah, he had a cell.
Well, what was the thought there? It was trying to film something, or he just needed to send a text message in between plays?
Well, who knows?
I think the thought is, in casual nature, you have your cell phone when you're walking down the street or doing your everyday deals. So it's kind of like, this don't mean anything. It's so unimportant or not important to him that I could actually go through practice with a cell phone.
Now, let me ask you guys this. All right, I want you to be honest. All right, just picture. I know you guys were not this type to get thrown out of a practice because you just didn't want to participate or there was a lack of effort. But let me ask you this:
thrown out of practice.
Well, yeah, but if you did get thrown out of practice because it was from a lack of effort, what would you guys do afterwards? What would you do afterwards?
What?
What would you do? Would you just go home and think about things? Would you go work out? What would you do afterwards if you got thrown out of practice?
I've got thrown out of practice.
Okay, what would you do?
For fighting.
I'd probably go get chicken parm, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, so you go get chicken parm. LeVar, what would you do if you got thrown out of practice?
First off, let me first preface by saying I would never get thrown out of practice for those reasons. I've been kicked out of practice for fighting.
Yeah.
And I would start fights any day we would have a kind of a lackadaisical approach to the start of our practice. I would start a fight. On purpose, without fail.
Okay.
But one time I got into a fight, and it was at Penn State, and there were pro scouts there, and the dude that was blocking me, he was going overboard with the way he was blocking me. Da da da. One thing leads to another. He was trying to show out.
He was trying to be the one to get recognized. Yeah.
Yeah. He was trying to get in the league because obviously that was me and Courtney and Brandon's last year. So it was every scout in America was there, and I get thrown out, and I can remember vividly when he threw me out of Joe threw me out of practice. I went to the locker room. I took a super long shower because it was cold.
Did you do an impression of Joe throwing you out? What did it sound like?
He was like, all right. He was like, hey!
Oh, Jesus.
What is he doing? Get him mad at it! Get him mad at it!
I love it.
That happened. And I love it.
And so you just now the reason why I ask
I went to training table, so I don't think I got chicken parm. I think I got a steak and a baked potato.
All right, this is why I ask because there are reports out of Philadelphia that Ben Simmons was seen at Delilah's after he got kicked out.
Oh, he went and started throwing some ones.
Yeah, Delilah's is a strip club in Philadelphia, and so there are some reports that Ben Simmons.
I think you could use the context clues on that one.
After getting out. that, you know, he decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and skip chicken parm. I'm not going to get the steak dinner at the training table that
but he could have got
getting.
Chicken parm, and he could have got a steak dinner at Delilah's. They serve good food at them spots sometimes.
I'm going to venture to guess that he was probably not thinking about getting something to eat when he went there.
Lemon pepper wings.
Okay.
You got to eat, man.
All right. I mean, listen.
Everybody doesn't make eating.
They're growing boys, Jonas. They do have to eat.
But I do think, the moral of the story is just because the day starts out poorly doesn't mean the day's got to end poorly. And I really think that shows something about Ben Simmons and his character, that he was able to turn, you know, a frown upside down, so to speak.
But now we know why he had the cell phone in his pocket.
Yes, that is a good point. Yeah.
Content. Content is king.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
That was it.
Yeah. So there's that. So congratulations, Ben Simmons.
Hope you had fun, Ben.
You know.
Crossing them over?
Do you think he wears basketball shorts?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.